Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you to give us wisdom today, discernment, especially concerning the things that are coming. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy towards us. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I want to talk to you about signs of judgments coming and how we can avoid them, even how the world can avoid some of it. So I'll share this with you. First, I got a note from Debbie Finsky, who wrote me on 5, 6, and 20. She said this was passed on to Judy and from Kathleen, and this is very interesting. It's about the Comet Swan. I would like us to hear your thoughts as to how right on this is before passing it on to family, and about the Queen of the South. He uses all of Isaiah 30, which we'll talk about below here. She said, I know this, how this applies to Christianity today. This sounds really urgent, possibly some very near destructions. He gives definite dates this month. This is about 20 minutes long, and of course I'll give you the link here. But my answer is basically, I can't say how much damage this comet will do to the Earth physically, for I don't really know that. We are expecting some destruction from the deep state. The very unusual cold weather snap did come that was predicted, you know, in this revelation. What I do know is at least a sign of the judgment of apostates and the fall of the deep state by the sun, SUN/SON. Since comets can be a sign of the death of a king or a country. In other words, Deep State Babylon and our Deep State faction and its leaderships. So Isaiah 30 clearly foreshadows this. We'll look at that in just a minute. But first, I want to look at the physical predictions that this particular link makes about this comet Swan. Here's an article, a warning, U.S. and South America, May 8th through early June, extreme weather. And this is written by on May the 4th, or posted on May the 4th, by Expat Gal. And it goes like this. Igor Kostolak, his YouTube is Against the Grain, has been tracking Comet Swan for several years. Last year, when Comet Swan was over Australia, there was a 1. Significant increase in volcanic eruptions, and 2. Deadly forest fires that killed millions of animals and damaged a significant amount of land, and 3. Very high temperatures. Okay. It goes on, Comet Swan is an electrical charged object and will impact our world's electric magnetic fields. It will be over the United States and South America starting on May the 8th. And of course, it has already over America. And I'm saying the only thing I know that has happened, because I haven't really looked into it that much, is a cold snap right in the middle of when it not necessarily should be. So anyway, I just make that note. And once it passes from the west coast to the east coast, it will return to the west coast. That's very interesting. The thing that came to me, that this is a sign over the United States with 2 witnesses of judgment coming from 2 different directions. First, from the deep state beast attacking the people, and second, the right destroying them. So, anyway, as we go on, I'll go back to the article here. the closest comet Swan will be to the Earth during its orbit will be on May the 12th over Yellowstone. That's interesting. There is a convergence that will happen during this same time period, as there are fragments of Atlas Y4 following comet Swan. Very interesting, too, that we would have all these comets showing up at this time. Over the United States, and Nibiru and comet Swan's paths will crisscross each other's orbits. Very interesting. Obviously, it could pick up things from X or vice versa. Planet X rules over comets, making them very unpredictable. Atlas is also a sign of the breaking up of the enemy by the sun, SUN/SON, because the sun did break up this comet into five major pieces and a bunch of dust. I don't know. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. The article goes on, there will be major havoc on these two continents from May the 8th through early June. Well, we'll see. You know, that's all I can say. I don't know about that. I do know I saw the sign. Expect to see and experience any of the following severe weather: hurricanes, volcanic eruptions, flooding, including flooding in places that have never flooded before, fluctuations in weather, extreme heat and extreme cold, including hail and snow, and tornadoes. And then a verse is put in here: for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Amen. Starting at 35 minutes in this video, Igor shows the path of comet Swan. And there's the link there if you want to go there. But here's some information from the link. Here are the key locations where the comet's path will be each day, pulled from the video. Approximate dates are given for each, but Igor is not yet figured out the triggering length for the comet, so he cannot project if the comet will have the biggest impact on a particular area when it's overhead or a day or more past the area. Okay. And then here's the dates, approximate dates that Igor gives here. May the 7th, coast of Mexico. May the 8th, border of the U.S. over the California coast. And, of course, we did have a cold snap about that time, came through. And May the 9th and 10th, California. May 12th, Boise, Albuquerque, Salt Lake City, and Yellowstone. May the 14th, Kansas City and Lincoln. May the 15th, Fargo, St. Louis, and Nashville. May the 16th, Minneapolis, Charleston, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Chicago, and Jacksonville. May the 19th, Washington, D.C., Pittsburgh, Portsmouth, Buffalo, Philadelphia, and New York. May the 20th, Boston and New York City. May the 23rd, Canary Islands and Azores Islands. We wouldn't want to shake the Canary Islands. There's a big mountain about to slide into the sea over there that's in the tidal wave to our east coast. May the 28th starts a return path from the east to the west over the U.S. New York, Boston, and east coast. Remember what I said about the passing over at one time and passing back over it? It's coming from two directions, judgment coming from two directions as a sign. Not necessarily that these things will happen, but as a sign, I believe, of the judgment of, first of all, apostate Christianity and the faction, and second of all, of the beast itself, the deep state beast. You'll see more about why I believe this in a minute. For dates from South America, Igor does not specifically cover these, so you will need to estimate the timing accordingly. He references Chile and the lower parts of South America as being impacted. But in an email to me, he confirmed the orbits for the comet would extend over South America as well, so other countries are likely to be impacted. The moon on May the 13th will be in the phase where the worst earthquakes have occurred historically, May the 13th. Additionally, the path of this comet will come very close to Nibiru, Planet X, Wormwood's path. Planet X has a history of kicking comets out of the Oort cloud towards the Earth when it is coming. And, of course, it is coming. And most people are saying, you know, spring or between spring and summer of next year. And not that it's not going to give us trouble in these days. You know, alignments can cause us trouble with earthquakes in these days, too. So, and the article goes on. Here's a video by Mark Allison showing where these coming events caused by Comet Swan appear in Scripture. And all of it, he's getting it all from Isaiah 30, which is a text that points out what I'm going to tell you also, whether any of this stuff happens. It is a definite sign of the things that I just spoke of. So Mark was on Z3 here, and he spoke of Isaiah 30 as a prophecy of the judgment. It speaks of the judgment on apostates. This is my notes here. On apostates who returned to Egypt. That is Isaiah 30 speaks of this, right? In other words, bondage to the old man. And then the judgment on Assyria who judged them. Just exactly what I'm saying or have been saying. That's what Isaiah 30 teaches, the whole thing. The Assyrian beast seems to represent the faction in church and state. In other words, deep state against the people, right? And here's Isaiah 30. I'm going to share it with you, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Isaiah 30, 1 through 26, first. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that make a league, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that set out to go down into Egypt. Well, you know, the Lord strictly commanded us not to go back that way, because it represents something. The apostates, including the faction, return to live in bondage under the old man that once ruled them. In other words, they went back to where they were before they got saved. And God warned them to never go back that way. And when the apostates sinned in the wilderness, they wanted to go back to Egypt, right? And that was all a symbol of a people who fall away from the truth. And they have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to take refuge in the shadow of Egypt. So they're running back to the world. It's a great falling away. They're going back to their youthful lusts, which they do. They're totally taken over by their youthful lusts and more that have been piled on them. So, and I'm talking about, of course, the faction in the state. We're seeing all the fornication that these people love, and the faction in the church, we're seeing the exact same thing. You know, it's the same demons. Verse 3, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the refuge in the power in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Yes, there will be confusion. There is massive confusion in anybody that has these spirits. So much so that it's very easy for President Trump and his team to outsmart them. Yes, we've been watching that. Verse 4, for their princes are at Zoan, and their ambassadors are come to Hanes. They shall all be ashamed because of a people, That's the old man of sin, the carnal life, the old man that ruled over them in Egypt before their baptism in the Red Sea, put to death the old man, and the Israelite came up on the other side, resurrection life, right? So God doesn't want us to go back that way. And this is a people that cannot profit them. Trusting in the arm of the flesh cannot profit you. It will not save you in the days to come. Faith in God is the only thing that will. That are not a help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. Yes, Christians have no business acting the way these apostates are acting, and they don't, because they're not Christian when they get that far. The burden of the beasts of the south. Through the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the lioness and the lion, the viper and the flying, a fiery flying serpent. They carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the humps of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. So these apostates are going the stupid way. For each, and I'm talking about the apostate sectarian churches out there, the denominations, which are also in faction against one another, and the latest faction, which is much more demonic. For Egypt helpeth in vain and to no purpose. In other words, you don't do anything. You don't grow in God. You don't grow in the ways of safety and deliverance. There is no help in Egypt, trusting in the arm of the flesh. There is no help. To no purpose, he says. Therefore have I called her Rahab that sitteth still. Now go, write it before them on a tablet. So God's written it for us too, right? And inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come. Aha, a prophecy of the future, right? But you know, I've taught before many times that prophecies have more than one fulfillment. They have a physical fulfillment, and then they have spiritual fulfillments, which are larger. For it is a rebellious people, lying, oh, this is the major part of what's going on here. Lying, wherever you find faction, you find lying and slander, okay? For it is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of God, this is true, that say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, yeah. They want to be deceived. They hate the dreams, visions, prophecies, and words that correct and warn them. They hate them. When they respected them before these demons came on board, they respected them. 11. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They no longer follow the Lord, but Satan. The Satanists in the government and the Satanists in the church, right? Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking forth breaking cometh suddenly in an instant. A wall represents sanctification. When it's gone, you've got no protection from the enemy. You have put yourself under the enemy's judgment. And this is talking about judgment of the beast upon them. And he shall break it as a potter's vessel is broken, breaking it in pieces without sparing. So that there shall not be found among the pieces thereof a sherd wherewith to take fire from the hearth, or to dip up water out of the cistern. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest. In other words, returning from your headlong path towards Egypt, right? In returning and rest shall you be saved. And how do we enter into the rest? By believing the promises of God. All right? Hebrews 4, right? In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. You would understand when you see how quiet and confident the brethren are who are in right standing with God and under the blood of the Lamb. They don't take all the precautions and all the worries and fears that the world takes on them about this thing come passing through. They just don't have it because they believe the promises. And when they see it, even up close, it makes no difference. We just pray against it and rebuke it. It's gone. But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses. That represents the strength of the beastly flesh, trusting in the arm of the flesh. There you go. Therefore shall you flee, and we will ride upon the swift. In other words, they were commanded to ride on donkeys. They weren't commanded to ride on horses. He forbid them to go to Egypt to multiply unto themselves horses because it represented strong flesh. Donkeys don't seem to be strong flesh. He put them in a place of weakness, you know. You know, in our weakness, God is made strong. And I mean, if you're fighting an enemy who's on horses and you're on donkeys, that seems like you're weak, right? Yeah. But so it goes on to say, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. So they got on their swift horses, but the enemy's horses were swifter. So they're caught by the beast's judgment, right? 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of five shall ye flee, till you be left as a beacon on the top of a mountain. In other words, a tiny remnant left, right? As an ensign on a hill. Mm-hmm. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Yes, the Lord has got lessons he is dispensing, and you want him to jump in there and do something about it, but he's going to teach his lessons. And he's going to give out the spankings when they're necessary. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of justice. And blessed are all they that wait for him. You know what? When you got faith, you're not in a hurry. You can wait on the Lord. You might want to see the great things that God's promised, but you can stand it. You can wait on the Lord till he gets everything done that he's got to do to move to the next step, right? We know what the Lord teaches so much about waiting upon him, right? The faithful can do that. 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. This is a group of people, obviously, that there is no more curse upon. Their crucifixion is over, etc. He will surely be gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear, he will answer thee. Well, if you remember in Joel chapter 2, the northern army was coming. That beast that had conquered Israel, the northern 10 tribes, the apostate northern 10 tribes, which is happening. But when they came up to Zion, they were smitten, and 185,000 of them were taken down. And they were driven off, scattered from one coast to the other. So the bride Jerusalem will be saved from the midst of the destruction. And then the elect among the apostates will see this and understand truth and repent. I say the elect because a major part of the faction will not repent and will not return to the Lord. Verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Yes, he does that. He does that to get people to repent and to see his direction and his ways and to keep people from running down to Egypt, right? Yet shall not thy teachers be hidden anymore. This is the thing. Not only is the bride revived, but the people who look at the bride see how revival works, you know. So, thy teachers be hidden anymore. one of our sisters here had a dream. Sue Gilbert had a dream of many, many people coming. And when asked, why are you here? They were coming and they said, we came here to be taught. Okay. Well, that's coming. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Yes, you know, tribulation has a way of doing that. Persecution has a way of doing that. You begin to pay attention to the one who is in control of all this, right? When you got the stupid demons on you, let me tell you, you not only don't respect him nor are interested in anything he says in his book, but nothing is a threat to you. You just don't believe it's going to happen. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left, this is the way, walk you in it. Never mind getting out of the path, right? You don't have time to wiggle to the right and wiggle to the left, you know. You don't have time to get off there where the devil has authority on the right and the left. You don't have time for that. You need to strictly seek to be in the will of God, right? Amen. 22. And you shall defile the overlaying of thy graven images of silver and of plating of thy molten images of gold. In other words, they value these idols. They're such a great value, they don't pay attention to the Lord. This is what they have their eyes on, these idols. And for the factions, it's all gain, sex, all the lusts of the flesh. That's what it is. That's their idols. And self. Self is the major, major idol. And they value these idols above God. So therefore, they can't even hear God. You can talk God all you want. It's not going to go in. When they're delivered over to these demons for the destruction of their flesh, hopefully that their spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. But he says here that because of all this persecution, tribulation, attack of the beast, thou shalt cast them away, that is their idols, as an unclean thing. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. And, of course, after this repentance, God says this. And he will give the rain for thy seed wherewith thou shalt sow the ground, and bread of the increase of the ground, and it shall be fat and plenteous. Would you say that this is what's going on? No. If you go look in the stores right now, in a lot of them, you're going to see bare shelves. Yeah. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. Well, if they haven't killed them all, and the chickens, you know, there's a lot of that going on. And I don't think any of them have figured out yet why they're killing them and why they're bringing in cows from outside. Big question. What's going on here? Well, they're infected. They're not going to tell you, but they're infected, just like they were in China. Now, how could it be any different? Yeah. And they're infected, and that's why in the slaughterhouses, people are catching it. Oh, my goodness, faster than anywhere else. What is the difference? The difference is they're dealing with animals that have been sprayed and ingested and whatever, this stuff. Now, if you cook it, of course, it's going to kill anything that's in it, but unless you eat it very raw or something like that. But for the people that are handling it firsthand, it's been killing them. 24. The oxen likewise and the young asses that till the ground shall eat savory provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fork. Praise God. The prosperity is going to come. When people repent, God can turn things around so quickly. And there shall be upon every lofty mountain and every high hill brooks and streams of water. Sounds good, doesn't it? In the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Well, we noticed the towers fell, didn't we? But I think other towers are falling now, not necessarily physical ones. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. That's a good fruit bearing there, isn't it? Turn from the brightness of the moon to the brightness of the sun. That's another step of glory there, from star glory to moon glory to sun glory. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold. Wow. And the light of 7 days. That sounds like revival. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the hurt of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Okay. So he's using the beast against the apostate people of God to bring them to repentance and to bring them to revival, right? So, but the rest of this chapter speaks of something different. Then speaks of the Lord destroying the Assyrian beast who judged the apostate people of God, which we've just read about, like we see Sennacherib conquering the apostates, but then falling before the bride at Jerusalem. Yeah. So let's read that. Isaiah 30, 27 through 33. In other words, this is a sign. This is the sign of the comet, I believe, is pointing towards this. You know, if there's judgments, physical judgments coming from the comet, so what? That God's in control of all that. And but I want people to see, you know, that these two things are coming. The judgment of the apostate church and then the judgment of the judge, which is, in this case, the beast. Sometimes God uses the Assyrian beast, sometimes the Babylonian beast, because there's two slightly different parables to be seen there. The Assyrian beast couldn't conquer Zion because Zion was righteous. The Babylonian beast conquered everything, including Zion, because at that time, their Zion was apostate. So, the thing that God's showing us is both things are happening at the same time. There are people out there who are apostate that must be judged, and there's people out there that are righteous before God, and they will not be judged. They're under the blood of the Lamb. Okay, so Sennacherib conquered the apostates, but then they fell before the bride, Jerusalem. Isaiah 30, 27 through 33. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from afar. The name of the Lord is the nature, character, and authority of the Lord cometh from far. In other words, the plumb bob has dropped. Yes, we're going to measure you by the word here. Burning with his anger. He's angry with the beast who has destroyed his people, even though they deserved it. Yeah. Burning with his anger and in thick rising smoke, his lips are full of indignation and his tongue is as a devouring fire. His breath is as an overflowing stream that reacheth even unto the neck. To sift the nations with the sieve of destruction. Yep, the beast. The nations are the body of the beast. And a bridle that causes to err shall be in the jaws of the people. Yep, they make a lot of mistakes. Anybody that's listening to the deep state and they're far, far leftists, they're going to make the most mistakes. And God is very much against them. And, of course, the right wing who doesn't know God but is just conservative, we know that they favor us more and they're at peace more with us. And right now God is using them to conquer the left And as they say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So they're not saved. We pray that they will be in the coming revival, but the right is being used against the left. That's God's way, all through the scriptures, by the way, if you wonder about that. You shall have a song as in the night when a holy feast is kept. Well, the holy feast I'm thinking of is Passover and Purim. They're both pretty similar about saving God's people and judging the beast, which is what happens here. And gladness of heart. And when one goeth with a pipe unto the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. So in the midst of all this judgment on the beast, God's people are going to be returning to him. Kind of like the Red Sea, right? The beast got drowned. Israel came up on the other side and had a party. And the Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard and will show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger and the flame of a devouring fire with a blast and tempest and hailstones, all things that he uses to judge the wicked. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be dismayed. Yep. When the Lord speaks, you know, I pointed out the other day that the Lord speaks in the book of Revelation with the voice of many waters. The sound of many waters. What can that be? It's the Lord speaking through his people. The waters are the people, right? In the book of Revelation. But the Lord has a voice, and he speaks it through many people. And you know what? He is judging the beast in that way. That's how he does it. Just like he did all through the Bible, by the way. That's how he does it. And that's what's happening here. Who is running things here? Is it President Trump? No. No, he's just one of the heads of the vessels that he's using as the Medo-Persian Empire to conquer Babylon. Cyrus. Cyrus had many gods. He thought he was very impressed with the God, but he wasn't monotheistic. So, going on, Assyrian, be dismayed. His rod will he smite him. With his rod will he smite him. God's people are his rod. And every stroke of the appointed staff which the Lord shall lay upon him shall be with the sound of tabrets and harps. In other words, drum roll, hit him again. Yeah, right. Well, that's what's been happening. I'm just telling you. I'm watching it. And in battles with the brandishing of his arm will he fight with them. For a Topheth, you know, this is the place I think they burned with fire, the trash outside of Jerusalem in the valley, and also the criminals' bodies that they killed. They burned out there, and it's just a type of hell. That's all it is. A Topheth is prepared of old, yes, and a very big one. For the king, it is made ready. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. He's talking about a picture of hell here, prepared for the deep state and the factions. Yeah. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. So, Debbie, who started this revelation here, she that morning got this verse. That was 5:8:20. By faith at random, she got it, and I'll give it to you. Judgment on Judah's enemies is what this is all about. Remember, that's the last part of this Isaiah 30 that we studied here. It's time to judge the deep state. They're going to their Red Sea, right? And this text was Zephaniah 2:12-15. Ye Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword. And I think that's people talk. This is a symbol of people walking in darkness, right? Not talking against black people here. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria. There it is, the beast. And will make Nineveh a desolation and a dry like the wilderness. Well, this I know from a vision that I received standing over the Gulf of Mexico, looking at America, and seeing America as Nineveh. It was a fish swimming around in an enclosure that was around America, and that's the meaning of the word Nineveh, a fish in an enclosure. So I saw that, and then the Lord gave me the revelation that I was looking at the head of the world beast, and that was America. If you think America's any different from that, you're wrong. Seeing Nineveh as the United States, the head of the world beast empire. And verse 14, and herds shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations, both the pelican and the porcupine, shall lodge in the capitals thereof. You hear this about the fall of Babylon and their temples, their high places, and also here. And sometimes he connects different beasts by using the same words and things, like the porcupine, the pelican, and so on. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the thresholds. For he hath laid bare the cedar work. This is the joyous city that dwelleth carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there's none besides me. How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? There's a lot of churches out there that are just full of beasts. Babylon has become the hold or the prison of every demon, right? Everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. And then 3:6-7, she got, I have cut off nations, their battlements are desolate. I have made their streets waste, so that none passeth by, their cities are destroyed. You think about Babylon that's being destroyed. It's a nation in the midst of this nation. It is a spiritual entity ruled by the devil. Yes, it's being destroyed as we speak. So that there is no man, so that there is no inhabitant. I said, only fear thou me, receive correction, so her dwelling shall not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed concerning her. But they rose early and corrupted all their doings. In other words, a great falling away is happening. And all these texts, by the way, that I'm giving to you were given by faith at random the same day, 5:8:20. So it's right in line with this revelation which was given us then, right? And Judy got Isaiah 47:1-4. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne. See that? Mm-hmm. See, they've lived on that throne. They think they're entitled to that throne, and they'll do anything to you they want to do to you to keep that throne. They'll destroy America with a plague. They'll do anything they can to stay in power, just like the faction that's against the church. O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Because God's judging her now. He's through using her to bring people to their crosses. And now he's judging her. Take the millstones and grind the meal. Remove thy veil. veil is a sign of submission, right? Which they don't have. Strip off the train, uncover the leg, pass through the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and will spare no man. Oh my gosh, is shame being heaped upon them now? The deep state is covered in shame. They're so desperately trying to keep you from finding out what they have done. They're gross evil. And that's true about the deep state in the church too. They're gross evil. They're faction against America. They don't favor America. They won't mind killing everybody if they can stay in control. And all of their sins are becoming known. It's all over the internet and growing. Fits pretty good. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, is his name, the Holy One of Israel. That's a clear, clear judgment of the deep state completely. And swan coming over as a sign. And Deb said, you know, she said, my finger came down on the word judgments, same day, in the first heading of the book of Amos. God's judgments, this is a quote, God's judgments on neighboring nations, on Judah and on Israel. So God used the Assyrians and Babylonians to judge Judah and Israel, and then he judged them. That's history. That's what happens. Tim got this, which we thought was kind of neat. I included it. Romans 11:17-22. But if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being a wild olive, was grafted in among them, and didst become partaker with them of the root of the fatness of the olive tree, after all, the roots are still there. We are sons through faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? But a lot of those people who are physically related to them have been cut off. And so we're also coming to the same exact time in history when the apostates of Christianity, too, will be cut off and other people will take their place. Isn't that something? As a matter of fact, he's going to turn back to the Jews, too. So, the parable still holds true. 18. Glory not over the branches, which were taken away so you could take their place. But if thou gloriest, it's not thou that bearest the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. Oh my goodness, don't tell this to the once saved, always saved people. Or you probably can tell them because they'll ignore you. And let me tell you, that's a large portion of Christianity too. They don't call it that. They don't all call it that, but I've been in denominations. They believe the same thing. They just haven't made a formula out of it. Verse 22. Behold then, the goodness and the severity of God towards them that fell, severity, but towards thee, God's goodness. If, oh my goodness, it's in there. There it is. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Oh my goodness. People should pay attention to that. You can sit in dead religion all your life and still not come bear any fruit of the image of Jesus Christ. It's just a fact. And Michael Hare got this one. Psalm 74:12-23. Yet God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Psalm 74:12-13. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. For what purpose? Well, it was to save God's people and to kill their enemies. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the sea monsters in the water. Or dragon, that will come up again, dragon. Sea monsters sometimes translated from the same word as dragon. In the waters. Who is the beast in the waters of the peoples out there? Who is it? It's the deep state, and it's the faction in the church too. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan. Leviathan was the swift serpent, the old serpent, which is what? The dragon, right? In pieces, thou gavest him to be food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Yep, you watch. Cyrus is plundering the deep state to give it to the peoples to go into the wilderness to rebuild the kingdom of God. Yes. 15. Thou didst cleave fountain and flood. Thou driest up the mighty rivers. The day is thine. The night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light of the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people, they are foolish people, the most foolish, hath blasphemed thy name. Yes, they have, the faction in the church and in the state. They hath blasphemed thy name. O, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the wild beast. Well, he won't. He won't do it. Forget not the life of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of violence. Boy, I tell you, the whole dark places of the earth, those tunnels, did you know those tunnels go around the globe, underneath the oceans and around the globe? And this whole nation is has tunnels and cities under there. Astounding. And they've been stealing and robbing and plundering the people's money to do this. And now they're awfully mad at Trump because he figured out that that money could come back, that he could take down this criminal government. And that money can come back. So he is appropriating that money. And he has trillions and trillions of it. Yep. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of violence. Yes, they are. Oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and the needy praise thy name. They're going to be using this. This is what he's planning on restoring the economy with. Watch. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee all the day. Forget not the voice of thine adversaries. The tumult of those that rise up against thee ascendeth continually. Yes, he knows them. They've proven themselves. And now he's going to judge them. Now, here's a neat dream Marie Kelton had. I had an open vision about a week ago of a T-Rex. That's the dragon beast, walking the street that's by my house. So it's something to do with local UBM. This is a beast that's against local UBM. Uh-huh. The T-Rex roared, and then I saw fireballs coming from the sky, and it hit them. The T-Rex made me think of when in school they taught the dinosaurs become extinct from a comet hitting the Earth. And here we got the comets passing over, right? This dragon of the deep state and the local faction is going to be destroyed by God. Pure and simple. Now, I talked to you about Atlas being also a sign. So Atlas split. I'm sure some of you know that, some of you don't. and Jet Propulsion Laboratories is now tracking the five pieces. BP Earthwatch says in this video, and I'll give you a link here, that JPL's first projection was that Atlas' closest approach to the sun would be 24 million miles on 5/31/20. That's the end of this month. JPL latest tracking, as BP Earthwatch points out, they tried to hide it somewhat, but it's there. Their latest tracking shows the main piece will pass 234.8 miles from the sun. He sees the main body among the five pieces will likely be torn to pieces or dive into the sun. And, of course, this could send judgment to the Earth by CME and whatever, you know, if this is true. But their data shows now that the second piece would come within 13,000 miles, which is very close. And third was 123,000 miles, and the fourth piece was 152,000 miles, and the fifth piece, 251,000 miles from the sun. And, of course, if he's right, that's all very, very close in space distance, especially with the sun's great gravity. You can't get that close, or it'll reach out and grab you. Why would so many comets that have been around for millennia suddenly come to their end and break up by the power of the sun / S-O-N in our sight at the beginning of these end times? Have you watched it? Isn't it amazing? Those things flew around up there for millennia, maybe from the creation. And now, poof. What is God saying? So I say that he's doing this as a tremendous sign that should be thought on. I mean, God will break up the faction in state and church. And the dragon that seeks to devour the man child and the woman of Revelation 12. He's going to destroy it, cast it down to the earth, right? So, now, everything's not bad news. Here's some good news. We have been getting a lot of verses about the Passover, when Jesus died and was resurrected with earthquake, by the way, and other resurrections too. And we received these texts by faith at random on the same day, 5/8/20. A people will be under the blood of the Passover lamb through this judgment. And that's from repentance and faith that you can do this. Anybody can do, any Christian can do this through repentance and faith. Believe that he took away, he became accursed for you. He took away the curse. He bore it himself. By his stripes you were healed. Psalm 91, no plague will come nigh thy tent. Okay. He says that in Exodus 12. So, Psalm 91, Exodus 12, read it. You have this. Okay, so we got this. Don Laughlin got Matthew 26, 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where wilt thou that we make ready for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The teacher saith, My time is at hand." That's pretty neat. My time is at hand. Is he speaking for the man-child today? "I keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Of course, you know, he was the Passover lamb. So shortly after that, that was fulfilled. And Brandy got Matthew 27, 49 through 55. And the rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elijah cometh to save him." That was Jesus on the cross, right? And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. That's not an easy thing to do. First of all, it's pretty tall. Second of all, it's 6 inches thick. It took like 300 priests to carry it. This is not an easy thing to do. This was a miracle. And the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered into the holy city and appeared unto many, saying, "Look here, there is a resurrection." There's many things we have to say about this, but we can't say them now. But the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were done, like people coming out of their tombs and stuff like that, feared exceedingly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding from afar, who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Amen. Okay. Okay, I have some more things to say here. This is about the chemtrail pandemic. The Pentagon confirms coronavirus accidentally, which is a lie, got into the chemtrail supply chain. That's this article I'm fixing to share with you. Oh, so they are spraying coronavirus. Yes. As I've been saying, and as I told the president, I told you 2.7 years ago this would happen. And spraying is suspended, okay? So I sent this to the president, reminding him that I told him the deep state was going to spray the plague from the chemtrails. And I told him this several times by email. And I think maybe he heard it because they just conquered the underground area that controls the chemtrails. Mm-hmm. And that's probably where they got this revelation at. Okay. I don't know. So there's a link here to the article. Washington, D.C. You can't expect a lot of truth out of Washington, D.C., so be patient as you hear this. The Pentagon has assured an indefinite hold order to all military air wings and airlines to immediately stop spraying chemtrails. They just finally admitted they've been spraying chemtrails. Uh-huh. Until it can be determined how the COVID-19 virus found its way into the chemtrail fluid supply. Well, we know how that happened because the Lord told us 2.7 years ago that the deep state did that. According to an unofficial Pentagon source speaking on the condition of anonymity, the entire chemtrail program is on hold, and I hope forever, until we can figure out who coughed onto... Can you buy this garbage? Who coughed onto a batch of chemicals being manufactured at one of the supplier's factories, unquote. The entire chemtrail program, quote, unquote. Okay. News of this apparent confirmation that chemtrails are real spread online like a virus. Fox News reported that President Trump is considering using the spraying capabilities of the chemtrail program to immunize the entire country from COVID-19. When the vaccine is ready. Well, you and I don't trust vaccines. We know what they do with vaccines. But I know President Trump doesn't trust them either. And he played along with the CDC so we could see that they are against anything that works. They proved that publicly, that they're against anything that works. In other words, they are behind this disease going forth, and they have proved that publicly now. So, he's a pretty smart man. God's given him a lot of intelligence. But maybe it's not a vaccine, but hydroxychloroquine that he will spray. I'll share that with you in just a minute. COVID-19 in the air. How? Eve Brass wrote on April 19th, 2020, I clicked on this BP Earthwatch, a video talking about the severe thunderstorms that were coming. And then he mentioned this article about Spain authorizing military planes spraying the cities to fight the coronavirus. Wait till you find out what's in that stuff. So they use those forest fighting planes that can dip down over a body of water and pick up a bunch of water and just keep right on going up with it. And it mixes the chemicals as it does this, and then it dumps it out, right? And they sprayed their cities. And what happened to their cities? Yeah. She said, I thought you'd be, talking to me, thought you'd be interested since you were shown they are actually spraying the virus itself on us from the skies. Yes. So here's a link from a link of BP's video here, BP Earthwatch. And here's another news article. Spain authorizes military planes to spray disinfectants over cities. And now here's another article that Eve sent later. Coronavirus was found in air pollution particles over Italy. I'll say that again. Coronavirus was found in air pollution particles over Italy. How do you suppose it got way up there? Yep, here's the article here. Found air pollution particles, preliminary study finds. Coronavirus found in air pollution particles. Okay, let's talk about hydroxychloroquine for a minute. Here's a breaking news article. Trump considers COVID-19 vaccinations by spraying hydroxychloroquine over U.S. with chemtrail planes. Well, this is not a very smart article because hydroxychloroquine is not a vaccination. Why would these people, which I'm thinking are leftists that wrote these articles, and that's why I'm correcting them, why would they want to equate this with a vaccination? Do they really want us to believe in vaccinations? Or consider that that whatever this does for us, this was a result of a vaccination? No, it wasn't. They're lying. Hydroxychloroquine is not a vaccination. It actually comes against the disease itself, dissolving the, I'm forgetting the name now, of what it dissolves, what it destroys. Anyway, I'll give you a link to this and you can read it. That's from April 11th, 2020. And here's what it says. Washington, D.C. The president is considering over health experts' objections. Well, I know what that means. It means the CDC, which is deep state, they are objecting to anything that could possibly work. They made this disease and they want it to succeed. And that's why they're locking people down. A plan that would use the military chemtrail program to inoculate every U.S. citizen against the COVID-19 virus with his prescription to heal the country. With his prescription to heal the country. It's not a vaccine. Trump questioning whether stay-at-home orders have gone too far. He is considering a plan to load up the chemtrail fleet with hydroxychloroquine and release it over every city in the United States. Going against the advice of literally every doctor and scientist in the country, which is the biggest, fattest lie I've ever heard in my life. The doctors who have used it find it extremely effective. Of course, the most effective is faith in the Passover of the Lamb. That can keep you from getting it in the first place. And if it doesn't keep you from getting it, you can certainly use it against you to destroy it, as we've proven. So the most effective, of course, is God's way, because then you learn to have faith in God. But for the world, hydroxychloroquine is working. Here's an article. See, I'll read what they said again. Going against the advice of literally every doctor and scientist in the country. Biggest lie anybody could speak. Here's one. Thousands of doctors. Yes. They say yes to hydroxychloroquine. It works against Wuhan coronavirus. That's what they're saying. I saw one where I think it was 98 or 99 people out of 100 were cured, and one guy had diseases so bad that it couldn't save him because it only comes against this disease here. So it was a tremendous thing here. Okay, not for me. I'm not interested in it. But for the world, we'd like to see them stick around till they get saved, right? Trump said, whoever survives my trip, they're quoting him. I don't know whether they are or not. That they don't seem to be very honest. But Trump said, quote, whoever survives my treatment will be able to get back to work, proving I was right again, unquote. Well, he could have been saying it just that way, because he's kind of a jokester sometimes. Donald Trump has continued to pressure the American public into taking the anti-malaria medication, saying, what have you got to lose? I don't see anything wrong with that. To treat COVID-19 symptoms, despite the lack of evidence thus far showing the drug could have an impact. Again, very, very false. As false as you can get. You don't have to go far. Now, I know they bury these articles, you know, because, I mean, they stick them so far down, nobody goes that far to read them if you do a search. But they're out there. And the people that actually use the stuff, of course, the leftists aren't going to use it because they don't want to offend their fellow leftists. And besides that, they just rather kill people. So the evidence is overwhelming that this is a lie. There are even some cases where patients simply died from it. Yeah, well, show one. See, they don't think they have to show one. Like the one I was talking about in that particular study, or actually it wasn't a study. It was actually them using the stuff until it worked, and very quickly. But one person, of course, died from causes that were beyond control or had anything to do with the disease. So, yeah, so they'll make that into somebody that died from the hydroxychloroquine. The president's response about the drug starkly contrasted with infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci. Well, of course, he's deep state to the bone, and he's about to be prosecuted for his part in HIV and also this. He's deep state. He's part of the dragon, okay, who has said during many press briefings, scientists have yet to find data to say anything definitively about the drug's benefits. Again, totally, totally false. And they're not even embarrassed that they put something stupid like this out there, because people can go and find out. He's deep state. Now, this is interesting. Predictive programming. That's the name that was over this. Michael Hare found it, shared it with us. Predictive programming, The Dead Zone. TV show from 2003. Listen to this. I'm going to do my best to share it with you here. His quote was, the deep state certainly tells us one way or another what no good they are up to, don't they? Watch this 3.5-minute clip. Then he has a quote here from Q. Past proves the future. Well, if this don't prove somebody planned this, especially the deep state, and where they released it first. I don't know what, you know. He goes on to say the original movie was in 1983. And here is a clip from a TV show clip from 2003. Watch before it is taken down from the internet. It's only 3.38 minutes long. And this clip, by the way, touches on every major point of this coronavirus saga. It's just awesome. So listen to this.
Well, he saw something. What is it?
I saw a virus. I think. Some kind of disease.
A virus? Like what? Like SARS?
I don't know. All I know is that it's highly infectious. It may be fatal. Right now, we could all be infected. If we take this outside, we risk the whole town.
Johnny, how big is this gonna get?
I don't know. We just have to do everything we can to stop this, starting right now.
He's right. All right, here's what's going to happen. We need to make sure that everybody that's inside stays inside. I'm going to get a few deputies on it. We'll call it a lockdown.
Lockdown?
Well, until I come up with something better.
Halt, no. No, you cannot lock the school doors.
Halt. This is for your family's safety.
Will I get sick, too?
Maybe we should wear masks. What difference does it make? According to you, we've already been exposed. Let's get one thing straight, Mr. Smith. I'm responding to political pressure. You have no reason to be scared. Let me ask you something, Amy. Animals. You've been around any animals in the backyard, even, let's say, a skunk, a raccoon? I'm going to swab the inside of your mouth with this little Q-tip. Trying to get a handle on this animal. Damn efficient airborne transmission. Blood tests and swabs aren't telling us much. We know it acts like a virus. It causes high fever and respiratory distress. Tracking and treating a mysterious outbreak like this would take the CDC months.
We better get started, Beth. Anyone who hasn't been exposed already needs to wear a mask.
Chaya. Isn't that where flu viruses come from? Yeah. A lot of viruses come from their international flight to China. That's no coincidence. Whatever it is, it originated in China.
Time is not on our side.
It's like looking for a needle in a needle stack.
We have ruled out all the usual suspects. Influenza, SARS, bacterial pneumonia.
How long is it going to take? Well, it took 34 days to isolate the coronavirus that caused SARS, and that's fast.
I'm authorizing a quarantine on everyone who's come in contact with a symptomatic person.
There's got to be something I can do.
When the SIS virus lifts, when they resist the treatment, then there's...
So the chloroquine...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The chloroquine...
This is it. This is your virus.
I'm sorry, but there's no cure for that. Chloroquine, that's an anti-malarial drug.
No. Listen, it suppresses the enzyme. Welcome back, you damn fool. What happened? We started everyone on chloroquine, stopped the thing dead in its tracks. Now, the CDC would have figured it out eventually, but not in time.
Yes, that's pretty amazing. All these things that were mentioned, you know, the same story. Pretty interesting. I want to share one more thing for you. Everything was mentioned there, coming from China. You know, the CDC wasn't really helping. Couldn't help. Wouldn't help. The chloroquine, they actually had it written on a board with the first part blocked out by the man's body at one point. Hydroxychloroquine. Maybe they didn't want us to know the first part. I don't know. But so many things were mentioned there, you know, of what exactly is happening now. So now, of course, they're calling this predictive programming. I believe they called it Looking Glass, their Project Looking Glass, where they look into the future, possibly with demonic help, because I know I've watched people who spoke about them being moved into the future, and something upset the machine and they were set aside, and here they see a bunch of grays looking at them, you know, and then they're picked up again and brought to the place that they were going to. And, you know, it was just very clear that the demons were the ones that were actually doing this, you know, bringing people to the future. Can they do it? They can do it if God permits them to do it. And they're calling it Project Looking Glass. It's one way they've been able to stay ahead of everybody is, I believe, looking into the future to whatever God will show them. However, I want to tell you this. They were very sure from their Project Looking Glass that Hillary was going to win the election. This goes to show the devil don't always tell the truth, or he can't control the future. You know, I mean, he might have a plan, but that doesn't mean God's going to go along with his plan. A lot of times God does go along with his plan because he permits the devil to judge the people. Okay, so I'm going to share this with you, which is something you can pray about. And I think it's pretty important to pray about this. This is military leaders after assassination by disease plot to make Pelosi president discovered. Okay, this is by Sorcha Fall. A mind-blowing new Security Council report circulating in the Kremlin today discussing the most terrifying event yet to occur in the coronavirus pandemic war says that during yesterday's telephonic conference held between President Putin and Prime Minister Boris Johnson, a frank discussion was held between these two leaders involving Prime Minister Johnson's dire health battle against the coronavirus that was so severe it had his doctors preparing to announce his death. You know, the deep state's been attempting with this coronavirus to take conservatives out. So you need to pray for all the conservative governments out there. They're targeting them. There's no, the percentages are just so very clear. This is not an accident. They're being targeted. And they almost took out this man who's very, very important to do the same thing that Trump's doing. Right? So this discussion between the two leaders involving Prime Minister Johnson's dire health battle against the coronavirus was so severe that they thought he was going to die. A discussion wherein Prime Minister Johnson revealed that the British Secret Intelligence Service, SIS, M16, could not give him a positive assurance that he wasn't deliberately infected with the coronavirus as a means to assassinate him, but which he said under British law would have meant his Conservative Party would still remain in power if he had died, and they would have just chosen a new leader. But thereafter saw Prime Minister Johnson expressing his fears to President Putin that this same type of leadership didn't apply in the United States. That's true. We have a different law here. And the deep state knows it, and they want to put Nancy Pelosi in there. There's only one way they can do that. Fears based on the U.S. having what is known as the 25th Amendment that sets forth the succession of leadership if President Donald Trump was struck down by death or disease, which would then see Vice President Mike Pence taking power, though if both Trump and Pence were struck down at the same time, all power would go to radical socialist Democratic Party leader, U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the crime mom. Fears both President Putin and Prime Minister Johnson further discussed in the grave light of President Trump having announced that he was retreating to his nuclear bunker complex at Camp David to meet with his top Joint Chiefs military commanders, and came after it was shockingly revealed that one of President Trump's personal military aides was infected with the coronavirus. As well as it's being discovered that the press secretary to Vice President Pence was infected with the coronavirus too. A press secretary whose husband, now, you know, husbands and wife get kind of close, so they could pass this on very easily, and it could have been planned that way, whose husband is a top aide to President Trump and meets with him daily. Oh, now, somebody that knew, you know, all of the complexities of the government there and what goes on and who knows who and who's close to who, obviously laid this trap, you know. But that pales in comparison when noticing that the entire White House is now on high alert because the coronavirus is raging through the ranks of the Secret Service protectors of both President Trump and Vice President Pence. So now you know why he's in his bunker with just the high command. He can't have a bunch of people around him, especially people that are being infected. And at this moment sees the Secret Service having 11 active cases, 23 of whom are said to have recovered from the coronavirus, and an additional 60 of them who are said to be self-quarantining. Oh my goodness, this has wiped out the Secret Service. So, I mean, obviously, they blamed China for infecting our military with it. Who did this? We don't know. But we know it was the deep state. They're the ones spreading the stuff in the first place. They're the ones that created the thing in the first place. And on and on. So what would you think about Nancy Pelosi being our new president? Time to pray, huh? Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we exercise our authority to bind and loose, and we bind this disease from taking out President Trump or his cabinet. We proclaim it to be a total failure. We thank you, Lord, for restoring the Secret Service, restoring the aides, restoring these people. Maybe this will be a good proof for hydroxychloroquine. At any rate, I'm sure that they don't want to tell all their enemies that this is happening, that they're in lockdown, basically, you know. So, according to this report, anyone attempting to understand the grave threat of death being faced by President Trump from rogue intelligence agency factions within his own government needs first to comprehend what happened to the last American leader to face off against what is commonly referred to as the deep state, and was President Ronald Reagan, who in 1980 was elected and thrown from power the Socialist Democratic Party leader, President James Jimmy Carter. But just 70 days into his presidency, on the 30th of March, 1981, saw President Reagan being gunned down in an assassination attempt that brought him to the brink of death. Well, another one the deep state did not like and did not want around was President Ronald Reagan. You can imagine why. So within a three-hour time span, beginning when President Reagan was fired upon on the 30th of March, 1981, this report details, America saw the most bizarre series of events unfolding in their modern history that began with a flight ensuing in the presidential limousine over which hospital the gravely, a fight, I should say, ensuing in the presidential limousine over which hospital the gravely wounded President Reagan was to be brought to, and saw the Secret Service presidential limousine driver disobeying a White House order to bring President Reagan to Bethesda Naval Hospital, and instead bringing him to the emergency room at George Washington Hospital. Well, did somebody know this was a bad thing to go where they'd planned to take him out? I don't know. Or was it the opposite? I don't know. But it sounds like the people around the president were crooked, and I'll just let them point this out to you. At near the exact same time President Reagan was collapsing to the floor in a pool of blood in the emergency room of George Washington Hospital, this report continues, his Secretary of State, Alexander Haig, who was a very ambitious fellow, was delivering an emergency address to the American people from the White House press room, declaring that he was now in charge of the United States. I think he's deep state. An unconstitutional declaration, as the next in line to succeed President Reagan was his vice president, George H.W. Bush. Oh, no, not again. But becomes explainable when one knows that Secretary Haig had been informed that the person who fired at President Reagan was John Hinckley Jr., who was the son of one of the closest business associates of Vice President Bush. And explains why Vice President Bush then declared that he, not Secretary Haig, was in charge of the United States, and immediately afterwards further declared, without any investigation, that Hinckley was a lone gunman. Have you heard that before? They always do that. They got to cover their tracks. They don't want people got out there researching and following the trail back to them, you know. So, yes, it's always a lone gunman. And there was no conspiracy to assassinate President Reagan. Boy, these people have infiltrated the government and run this place for years and years. Listen why this is being pointed out. While Vice President Bush and Secretary Haig were battling over who was in charge of the United States, this report notes a team of surgeons at George Washington Hospital were battling against the clock to save the life of President Reagan. A battle for life being complicated because these surgeons didn't know the caliber of the bullet President Reagan had been shot with, which they needed to immediately know in order to plan the surgical procedures to save President Reagan's life. And only the FBI knew about, and they had in their possession the gun Hinckley used. Oh, but they really wanted to get rid of that because of what he was shot with, and finding out that it wasn't Hinckley at all that shot him. And as exactly described in the accounting of this incident, that shows what occurred. The Secret Service agent went to a nearby phone and called the FBI. This is what was then overheard in the George Washington emergency room. "What do you mean you can't tell me?" the Secret Service man said. "The doctors here have to know." He turned to his superior and shouted, "They won't tell me." "You tell them. They've got to tell you. It's the president." His voice rising, the Secret Service men told the FBI, we've got to know, and we've got to know now. There was a moment's silence before the Secret Service man turned to Dr. Rockoff and said, it's a 38, which was a lie. And Dr. Rockoff, stunned by this information, related to the colleagues. It's a 38, he said. We need a belly film to look for the rest of the bullet, because they didn't have anything like that showing there. Okay. And then they got a picture of them pushing Reagan into the limousine. And as to why Dr. Rockoff was stunned upon finally being told President Reagan was struck by a 38 caliber bullet, this report explains, was because the entrance wound on Reagan's left side, right below his armpit, was just a sliver, no larger than a U.S. dime coin. And while preparing to operate based on this information, was stopped upon learning that the surgeons who were operating on Secret Service agent Tim McCarthy, who was also wounded in this assassination attempt, had discovered that the bullet in him, they were both shot at the same time, was a much smaller .22 caliber. Aha! Not just any .22 caliber bullet, but explosive fragmentation rounds used by U.S. police and military forces called devastator bullets that the FBI said they examined after it was removed from President Reagan, but then disappeared it forever. So they had two different things here, you know, that he was shot with. We don't know if any of Hinckley's bullets hit him or not, or whether this was the .22 bullet. We have no idea. It wasn't the bullet that hit Reagan, though, as he goes on to explain. Left unexplained, this report notes, is why the FBI didn't want the surgeons to know the caliber of the bullet that struck President Reagan. They were crooked. Or why, when forced to answer, lied about it and then disappeared it after it was discovered from President Reagan, a mystery, however, that does become explainable when viewing the accounts claiming that the President Reagan, this is a run-on sentence, I know they love them in this particular place, viewing the accounts claiming that President Reagan wasn't shot by a bullet at all, but by a razor-edged, dime-sized flechette disc deliberately fired at him by one of his own Secret Service bodyguards. Accounts through long regarded as being conspiracy theories, as no proof existed of such a thing being true, because they hid all the evidence, lost it, you know, conveniently, as they're doing nowadays. That is, until President Trump was elected. In winning his election over Hillary Clinton in 2016, this report further explains, virtually unnoticed by all but the most astute followers of arcane political matters, was that the dictates President Trump was near exactly following to achieve his shock election victory were all prescribed in a little-known book called A Commoner's Guide to Defeating the Aristocracy. We don't know who wrote this. It was published in 2013 and written by Phil Minetti, actually a non-existent person who describes himself as being a sometimes part-time high school substitute teacher, but whom no records exist for. And after President Trump took power in 2017, giving him full access to the CIA files on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy and the attempted assassination of President Reagan, saw this non-existent person, Phil Minetti, putting out another book on the 15th of June, 2017, titled The Illusion of Democracy. It is, isn't it? a more accurate history of the modern United States. It's organized crime, isn't it? Yeah. Whose pages astoundingly read like a CIA case file to include this passage on the attempted assassination of President Reagan. Reagan was injured by, and nobody knows who this Minniti guy is. It could be President Trump or one of his friends. anyway, it says Reagan was injured by a nearly invisible flechette, a razor-sharp, dime-sized disc used by the CIA, capable of being fired silently from a pneumatic weapon. The trajectory of this wound was a 45-degree downward, back to front, left to right path. Uh-huh. So that was when he was bending over getting into the limousine, right? The assassin missed Reagan's heart. The flechette deflected off a rib, lodging in his lung, missing Reagan's aorta by about a quarter of an inch. And there's a picture of that book. The Foreign Intelligence Service examination of the mysterious book, The Illusion of Democracy, A More Accurate History of the Modern United States, this report concludes, assessed that the majority of its content to have been copied near verbatim from known and or suspected CIA case files having the highest level of secrecy classification, with their particularly noting that this book's cover art, iconography, visual images and symbols, displays a mirror image of President Trump's thinking process and tactics, specifically because chess pieces arranged for attack upon an American flag, when added to this book's stunning contents, show President Trump is fully aware of the dangerous game he's playing, and he doesn't intend on losing. And we intend that he doesn't lose either. So that's the end of that. But you can just see that the FBI, the CIA, has been infiltrated by organized crime of the deep state ruling over the country. It's a joke to call this a democracy. And yet we have a chance now to see a little bit of it, I think. But there's still lots of enemies out there, and it will take prayer. And I hope you will take this seriously and go to work. Do what you're called to do. There's nobody else that can do this job, including President Trump. As I've said, you know, the revelations we've had about the Davids being the actual president of the United States, that's not because they stand in the office. It's because they exercise the authority that permits Trump to stand up there in the first place without being killed. So, I mean, a lot of God's people need to wake up and exercise the authority that Jesus gave. If they will do this, we will see success. As the Lord has said many times, there are many working against us. There are many witches out there. There's many Satanists out there. There's many leftists out there, all praying to their God. He's always the devil. So they're all praying to their God for power, and they're sacrificing babies to get that power that they have been able to receive over a long, long time. Let me just say that. So we've got power over and above anything they've got. We just need to, you know, go to work with it, you know, do what the Lord sent us to do. Why would he say what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loose in heaven, unless he wanted us to do something for him? Why would he delegate the authority to us if we're not supposed to use it? Just sit in church and on a pew until the rapture comes, right? So, obviously, God has called us to do this work. We need to pay attention. We need to pray Like in this instance, you know, we've lost quite a bit of the Secret Service here and the people around the president, all of whom are needed. So they got him in a bunker where you don't have to put as many people around him. And anyway, Father, we thank you that they're not going to reach him, that he's safe because of the big angels round about him. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that he's not going to get touched. He'll learn a lot, but he's not going to get touched by any of this stuff. And whatever sicknesses or whatever comes, they'll be totally victorious over. And we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. We declare it. We decree it in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for absolute total victory, Lord, total victory. Father, we pray, Lord, that this we know that they're prepared to take down the deep state. We also know that the deep state knows that, and that they're spraying stuff and so on and so forth, and trying to kill off all the conservative leaders around the globe, which we declare moot and void. We thank you, Father. We send forth the angels. You came to us, Lord. You declared to us, Lord, that we have these warring angels standing next to each one of us, and we can send them forth, and they're actually waiting for our orders. And we send them forth in the name of Jesus to defend this revival, this return of the government to constitutional principles upon which, of course, a worldly people can live. We would rather them went past that into biblical principles, but we'll settle for that for now, since God has a very small elect spread out among them. So thank you, Father, for doing this. In Jesus' name, we command the mighty, mighty angels, the warring angels, to go and make war against the deep state and bring them down in the name of Jesus. Thank you for preserving, Lord, these people that you're using to bring about this freedom. Lord, I pray that we use this short time of freedom and relief from the rule of the deep state satanic criminals for the best advantage of getting the kingdom out there, rebuilding the kingdom, restoring the kingdom, getting God's people ready for a mid-tribulation war against the saints. Lord, you told us that President Trump went in there to give us a little time. And you told us that that time was a time of rebuilding the kingdom, which most of your people don't know anything about. And they don't know how to walk in it. They don't know how to walk after the Spirit. They don't know that they've got authority. They don't know that they've been delivered out of the power of darkness. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know. And Lord, you've had us, you know, building libraries to basically share with them some important principles that they need to walk as a son of God. And Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to give us victory over these enemies, both in the church world and in the government and state. We know, Lord, that you've trained us well by giving us these responsibilities. You've shown us how you've given us victory time after time after time over the faction, people who have been turned over as sons of perdition to the devil, and that their permission is merely crucifixion. It's not to have victory over us, and it won't have victory over us. Crucifixion just makes us stronger and stronger and stronger. So we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus for the victory. We thank you, Lord, that the angels are going forth even now to bring this to pass. We know that there is a criminal entity in the church, and that there are people who have taken over the church who have no ordination from God whatsoever. They're like the northern 10 tribes who made priests out of people that were not of the priestly ranks or the priestly tribe. And they're not priests. They have usurped this authority. They don't know what they're doing. They're keeping the people from finding out who they are, what Jesus has done for them. They're pacifying them. And so, Lord, we thank you for removing these people. You told us that you were going to use the deep state to do this, to remove these people and to give wisdom to those under them, that to know that our leaders don't know what they're doing. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for giving this revelation out to them to help them to see that these people are only worldly people. They only do things by worldly effort. They don't have any spiritual power, any anointing. They don't rule as the man-childs rule. And they haven't been through the wilderness like Moses. And so they can't bring the people there like Moses did. And so, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, that you bring down by all these means, since you have authority over every vessel out there, good and bad, and anywhere in between, all the grays, you know. We know you have authority over all of this. We don't try to, dictate anything to you, Lord, but we know that you put things in our heart that you want spoken, like a river of living waters coming out of our mouth, like the voice of many waters in the book of Revelation. It goes forth and it is fulfilled. Thank you, Lord, that everybody's listening to me today will take this warfare seriously and go forth and do battle against these enemies. To spend time not washing the car, not playing cards, not all these other things that could be done, not watching TV and especially YouTube, but doing some time in spiritual warfare, coming against these enemies of everything that is God. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that you're going to give us, because your people are going to take this seriously. Your people are going to take this seriously. Esther the bride took her job seriously. She went out and spoke to the king, and he listened, and he changed things. He took the ring out of Haman's hand and put it in Mordecai's hand. He changed that authority, you know. Took away the authority of the beast and gave it to the man child. And so, Lord, that's what we're believing, that's what you're going to do. We're interceding for your people who are out there, just like the Jews were out there when the bride and the man child were in there interceding to the king. And they were pulling their hair out, the people out there, because they didn't know what to do. Haman had authority, and they weren't getting the ear of the king, because they probably didn't know how to get the ear of the king. So, anyway, those that did get the ear of the king changed things as he planned, as the king plans. And you have heard, Lord, and you are hearing, Lord. And we thank you for victory over our enemies, all of them, in Jesus' name. We also thank you for your warring angels standing round about us to protect us from all the works of the enemy. And round about Trump on the political side to protect him and his cabinet and his people and his helpers and the Justice Department and on and on and on, Lord, that you have people around every one of these people who the deep state just loves to kill to get them out of the way to protect these people in the name of Jesus. And the coronavirus, we declare, we cast it down from the presidential people. We cast it down in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for the victory. Hallelujah. All right. I guess I've run out of wind here. Thank you so much for joining us today, saints. God bless you and keep you. We'll do this again sometime. Thank you, Father. Amen. Good night.